Welcome to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the book club and podcast with your hosts, Sarah, Kit, and Marianne. Three friends who talk about all things books, food, and travel.
Welcome, readers, eaters, and travelers to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the podcast and book club where books take us beyond the page. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Marianne. Today we'll be talking about the books we have recently read and books that we think you need to add to your TBR pile.
And this episode is spoiler-free, so if a book you haven't read yet is mentioned, don't worry, we're not going to spoil it for you. And as always, we are adults, and we're going to say some adult things. I got a good one today.
I was looking through your books, and I was like, oh, interesting.
There's one in there.
All right, so what's going on? It's been like a while since the three of us have actually talked because of travels and,
because Kit didn't show up the other day when we were recording with Camille. So
it felt really weird. We need Kit to keep the conversation.
Kit was stuck in airport traffic in Denver. I was down in Denver because my best friend, who I grew up with in Syracuse, moved to Australia and I moved out here. So we only see each other about once a year. So she flew to me this time, which was awesome. But if anyone is in the Denver metro area, you know, I live in Northern Colorado. It can be an hour commute to the airport. It could be 3 hours. The traffic gods decide. And they decided it was going to be a long one this time, which is, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it happens.
That's kind of what I've been up to. You know, she's in town, so we're doing a little bit of the tourist thing. And then next week, I'm also really excited. End of next week, my cousin, who were the same age, we were really close growing up, still lives in New York. She's bringing her kids out. They've never been out here, never been to the mountains. So we're giving them kind of like the full Western experience. I'm taking them to the Tetons for hiking and fly fishing, to Yellowstone, taking them to their first rodeo, taking them on their first horseback ride.
So we'll be doing like first rodeo.
It will be their first rodeo. And we're going, shout out to the Cody, Wyoming, Cody Knight Rodeo. They rodeo 7 days a week all summer.
My gosh.
And it is the perfect rodeo if it is your first rodeo. They do an amazing job with kind of like explaining each event so that someone who didn't grow up, you know, riding rodeo understands, you know, what's going on and why things are done the way they're done. It's my absolute favorite rodeo to go to, so. We'll be hitting that up in a week or so. I'm real excited about that.
Nice.
That's what I got going on. How about you, Mom?
Nice.
Okay. Well, I mean, other than my very first visit to Tractor Supply.
It was like your first rodeo too.
Where we bought it.
I go to Tractor Supply like once a week, you know?
I'm there all the time.
I felt like I was like on an anthropological expedition. It was like this whole world I didn't know about. Like, oh, look at this. This is where you buy things for horses. Okay.
That is indeed where we buy our things for our horses.
And I was so amused because they had I wanted to see the baby chicks. I was really excited about that.
My favorite. Yeah.
I get so excited the first time you go in and you can hear them before you can see them. And you're like, oh, they're here.
The one lady kept asking me, do you need help with the chicks? I'm like, no, I'm just looking at them. You know, I just want to look at
them. They're cute.
But there was one kind of chicks that were called black sex link chicks. And I thought that was a perfect name for a punk rock band. Black sex links. Yeah, okay. But we got, of course, you saw our giant Beyonce chicken for the backyard.
Yes.
So Jerry's very proud of having the largest cock in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. So you gotta beat everybody else.
Which he was exclaiming as he carried the rooster out to the truck.
Of course he was. Yeah.
To everybody in the parking lot. I'm like, oh my God.
That's something every husband would do. Every husband would be like, I got the biggest cock on the block.
Yes, exactly.
By the way, I look up Black Sex Link. They are excellent brown egg layers.
I have to look them up.
Weird looking, but I was like, just the fact that it's like, it is an excellent brown egg layer.
There's another kind that was a Sicilian something or another. I was like, oh, well, I'm part Sicilian. Maybe we're kin.
Nice.
But then I've been riding my new electric tricycle all over my neighborhood, which is so much fun, even though it's like the temperature of the surface of the sun around here. I got a Kindle ColorSoft, which I promptly lost, but that was actually underneath the seat of my car.
Okay. So only lost for a little bit.
Yes. And I did travel to New England and then to I don't know if it's considered upstate New York, but the Hudson River Valley.
So this is going to be controversial. Pretty. people are going to say yes. If someone's listening from New York City, they're going to go, yes, it is. And I'm here to tell you, as someone who lived in central New York and upstate New York, no, it's not.
Okay, so no, I'll call it the Hudson River Valley.
Hudson River Valley.
We fight about it all the time in New York.
That's what I kind of thought. But it was just gorgeous. I mean, I had been there when I was a kid. We used to go to the Catskills when I was a kid. But I went to Hyde Park, New York, and went to, you know, museum, FDR museum fangirling, and I'm a total Eleanor Roosevelt fangirl now, and ate delicious Italian food, and there were some great bookstores that I went to, so I had a great time. Now, what about you, Sarah?
Well, I've been back just a week from my very extensive trip to Europe, 5 countries, 6 because we did land in Canada briefly. So
ooh, fancy.
My students were like 6.
It doesn't count if you didn't leave the airport, you know.
I know. So I was
we use that only counts if you stop and eat. So yeah. Like, if you can find yourself a meal in the airport, yeah, I would allow it. So when we did our road trip, we stopped in every state and had a meal. So you could say that I've been there. I stayed. It was more than a drive through.
My gosh. Yeah, it was a whirlwind, mostly bus too, which was crazy. When I think about the fact that we bussed from Lucerne, Switzerland, all the way to Barcelona.
Wow.
Kind of crazy. So a couple days in Switzerland, absolutely amazing. Oh, we didn't hike a mountain. You take a gondola, they call the little cars gondolas, up the side of Mount Pilatus, which was amazing. And then spent the day in Lucerne. And of course, everywhere I went, I was like, where's the bookstore? I literally was like on Google Maps, just going books. I just want to look at bookstores and things. I don't think I found one in Lucerne. And then from there, we went to Cinque Terre, Italy, via Lake Como.
Oh,
so nice. I've been to Lake Como before. We stopped through. Like, you just stop. Same thing. We stopped and had a meal. Like, literally, we're stopping and like, here's your lunch.
Yeah.
Go find lunch in Lake Como and then meet back here in 2 hours. Then we rode Cinque Terre. And then from there, we went to Monaco.
Okay.
Which I have always wanted to go to because I love Grace Kelly.
Yeah.
And I actually read her biography when I was in high school.
Wow.
Because I loved her so much. I loved Alfred Hitchcock movies and all that. So it's kind of a little, my little book connection too, just to be able to see like the cathedral where she's buried, her grave, and Prince Rainier's grave is there since he's passed away recently. Well, it's been like 6 years now, but they're both buried there, but that's also where they got married.
Yeah.
And so like thinking of the pictures and her wedding dress and all that. So that was really cool to go to Monaco. And then we went to France. We went to like 3 different cities in France. I took lots of video on snacks, all the snack foods in all of these various countries. And I'm hoping to put something together here soon. Like, we stopped at so many like gas stations, what we would consider a gas station, but they're like luxury in Europe, some of them. So I bought a copy of Fourth Wing in French at one of the gas stations because they had books
at a gas station. Wow.
At a gas station. I was like, oh yeah, I finally get to pick up a French book. I don't speak French. I just, I can't even read it at all. My Spanish and Italian ones I can read, but so we ended up there. I got to see my dream was going to a lavender field, like actually standing in a lavender field. I think I may have cried a little bit because that's been like travel goal. So I need to find a book. I bet there's a book about that takes place in a French lavender field. Like,
I bet there is.
There's also lavender fields in Washington State, not too far from Forks, just saying.
Yeah. And then we went over to Spain, Barcelona, and then I did a side trip. I added Madrid because I love Madrid. It's become one of my favorite cities. So super amazing. Lots of good snacks. Lots of cool bookstores. Mm-hmm. I found a travel bookstore in France, maybe. No, I found that one in Switzerland. We were in Zurich for a day because we came in earlier than everyone else. And I made me think of Notting Hill and his little travel bookshop. And I was like, found a bookshop. And I'm like, it's just travel books, but it's kind of like Notting Hill. Yeah, super amazing trip. Hands down, one of the best trips I've ever taken. The groups we traveled with were absolutely amazing. We had a group from Washington State. So speaking of the lavender, and hopefully Adrian and Camille will listen to this podcast. I'll give them a little shout out because they were amazing.
Hello.
And then a group from North Carolina with my new friend, Tamiko, whom I love. Also, Tamiko, I'm like, we have to have you on our podcast because she has a food truck in North Carolina.
You're telling me that, yeah.
And it's mac and cheese. And so I was like, we should have her on and we can talk about like snacks when we get to that point. So yeah, so we hung out a lot. Our kids got really close. There were tons of tears when we left. Kat, our tour director, was amazing. One of those just why you travel, you know. And I had amazing food. Oh my gosh, amazing food. Got to try so many new things that I hadn't before. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. Like a bocadilla de calamares, which is a calamari sandwich.
Oh, okay.
Sounds super weird, super popular in Madrid of all places. And it was so good. I've wanted one for a long time because they always smell really good.
Okay.
Pesto at Cinque Terre. That was another good one. Pesto. So yeah, I had a lot going on.
So yeah. Shall we get to our books?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get to our recent reads. Sarah, why don't you start things off? What have you been reading lately?
Well, I read only six, which some people will be like, oh, that's so many books. But
is that the same thing?
I was like, I read six books. Well, I will say like four of them have been since I've been home. I brought my Kindle with me thinking I would read and I was so tired at night, 5 minutes and I was out. But so yeah, at the beginning of the month, obviously I read Morbidly Yours by Ivy Fairbanks. If you haven't listened to our episode, Love on the Rocks by where we actually interviewed Ivy herself and talked about this fantastic book. So I won't say too much about that. And then I talked last time about, I was super excited that I got approved for the arc of We Fell Apart, the new E. Lockhart book that is part of the We Were Liars series. I was so skeptical. I was excited, but also skeptical about this because I love We Were Liars. Like, people either love or hate it, by the way, because of the twist.
You like get nervous. Like, is it going to hold up? Like, is
that And I'm like, but how do you, you know, you have the We Were Liars. This is what happened. And then you have Family of Liars, which is like pre-We Were Liars. And I'm like, how are you going to make this happen? So it takes place in the same area, a different island, obviously. And it takes place a few days after the incident in We Were Liars. So there's a connection. There is a connection, but it's not like a, it's not an unbelievable connection. So I thought that was really good. Can't wait for it to come out. I think it'll get a lot of acclaim. Still trying to get through Throne of Glass series. Book Talk's going to hate me.
You can do it.
It's okay. I don't even know how to say it. I thought Empire Storms was going to devastate me and it didn't. And I decided I can't do the tandem read with Talon Bond. I'm listening to it. I'm like, I just can't read it and do the back and forth. So I listened to Empire Storms. And it's good. It's not that it's not good. It just, it's a lot happening. Mm-hmm. And her world that she is creating is so big and there's so many characters and it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it is good. And then of course I read Come Fly With Me, which is our book club book for this month. Camille DeMaio. Loved that too. And I, especially after traveling, literally had just traveled. I think I started it the day after I got home or whatever. And we'll probably talk about this when we do this episode, but there were a lot of really good quotes about traveling and what traveling does. And I really, really loved that. On our trip, our tour director on our last day, she said something that will stick with me forever. And I feel like Camille said something like this in Come Fly With Me about it doesn't matter where you travel to, it's who you travel with that makes the trip special. Yeah. And I was like, you're so right. Because I've been to Europe, but this trip was so magical because of the people we ended up traveling with. And I know Camille kind of alludes to that in Come Fly With Me about it's the journey too, which I'm like, oh, I love that. So that was fun. And then I got back into some Amy Award because
you did.
Love her. The Wiener Across the Way. Oh my God. The title's so funny. I know. The Wiener Dog, Wiener the Pooh.
I haven't read that one yet. That's amazing.
Oh my God. The names she gives the animals, Wiener the Pooh.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my God, I was dying. It's total T-Swift vibe.
Okay.
Like Kelsey, what is her name? Kelsey Best is the main character's name. Uh-huh. And she's with Declan Kingman, who's super broody. But she's like the super bigger than big star who also, her label is Big Marine. Like, it is very, very T-Swifty.
That's what I probably, some people are like, it's too like on the nose, but that's what I do like about her books. She doesn't exactly like name drop, but you know,
no.
Like, it's close enough that you're like, yes, ma'am.
They
like,
play I got for you. They play for the Denver Mustangs.
Exactly. Instead of the Denver
Broncos.
And
at Broncos. One point,
I got you.
At one point, he's like, I have a game in San Diego, the San Diego Thunder.
Right.
It used to be, I mean, San Diego doesn't play in San Diego anymore, but San Diego Chargers. Like, I was like, oh yeah, she's totally got it.
I like, because it's so like tongue in cheek. Like, you're like, yes, do it. Just give it like the silliest name that we all know.
Yeah, we all know. For it. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that was fantastic. I mean, she's so good.
She's so good.
Yeah. I texted you guys, that's what I was reading, where she said that she was irrevocably in love.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
I was like, is Amy a Twilight fan? Like, I need to know now, because I feel like anyone who's ever read Twilight and you hear irrevocably, you're like, that's a Stephenie Meyer word.
That's going to be, we need Amy to respond.
Yes.
On our inevitable TikTok post about this.
Are you a Twilight fan?
Well, I was telling Kit before you signed on about how Camille started off because of Twilight.
You said that.
Because I was like, yeah, we were Twilight moms. And she was like, oh my God.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I get that reaction more often than I think I'm going to.
Yeah, I know.
People are like, oh my God, that's amazing. And you're like,
it's a surprising number of authors who started because of her. Yeah. So the last one I read, Kit, this is all for you.
I already have it on the TBR. I'm like, yeah.
Holding the Reins by Paisley Hope, another cute cowboy romance with the super cute cover.
I did see posted it. I saw it.
And it's hockey cowboy romance, like
everything I love.
She does not name drop. He flat out plays for the Dallas Stars.
Perfect.
I had a few problems with this book, but that's me personally.
Mm-hmm.
My big one is that it takes place in Kentucky, Lexington area. Okay. It feels like Colorado. So you're gonna have to tell me when you read it.
Because I
spent a lot of time in Lexington.
Right.
It's a little more rich and uppity than country.
Right.
It's
a different brand of country.
And the family has a ranch and they do like beginning trail rides or like beginner classes with people, but also raise racehorses.
Oh.
And he
diversify, I guess.
He gives lessons on like their old like Kentucky Derby stallion. And I'm like, but do you, like horse girl problems. They're right by a mountain as well. Sugarloaf Mountain or something. And I'm like, it's not very mountainous in northern Kentucky like that. Like, just
there is a Sugarloaf Mountain in Colorado.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was like, are you sure you meant Kentucky and not Colorado?
Because it's a thing. But okay, so here's what I will say about East Coast mountains sometimes. Because I have this problem with the Adirondack Mountains as well.
Yeah.
Unless you've seen other mountains, people are like, whoa, that's a huge mountain.
Big.
And you're
true.
It's not. Sugarloaf Mountain is a 1,348 foot mountain.
Okay. So it could
located in Kentucky. Like it is a thing, and it has a beautiful view because it's part of like the Cumberland Plateau, it looks like it says.
Is it in Lexington?
I'm zooming out. Give me a moment.
Because that's what I did not Google deep dive like I should have.
Yeah. It's giving me like so many layers. Like I would like to just see the roads. It is close to, yes. So if you head out on the highway, it's not like in Lexington, but it's east of Lexington. If
right.
You head out 64, I would say like if you were like, what's the closest big city? Lexington would be the closest.
Because that's like east is like Natural Bridge
and
Red River Gorge.
Yeah.
Which
so
I love,
it's headed in kind of off that side. So like, but I think we tend to think of like, I mean, you were just in mountainous regions as well.
I was in the Alps.
The Alps. So like, I think sometimes people who, and I know nothing about this author, obviously, but like, if that's the mountain you grew up with, like that's a mountain.
Right. Right.
And then you see bigger mountains and you're like, that's a hill.
Hill.
You're not even tall enough to get past the tree line.
Right. Well, so I think like
that is one of those.
The problems were more like problems I would have.
Yeah.
I would still recommend it for people who love this kind of thing. It's
definitely
still fun.
Hockey and cowboys.
I was like, Kit is going to love this because it's hockey and cowboy.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
wears
yeah.
his hat backwards all the time. And then he shows up the next morning. He's got a cowboy hat on. And she's like,
done.
Part-time.
Done.
So, like, it's one of those, like, he is really close with the family. His parents are gone kind of thing. So,
yeah,
she's the only girl of these brothers. So, of course, other books are going to take place with the brothers. It is very spicy.
Not I feel a problem. Like
the last half of the book was all spice. And I read the first half before I left. So I had like the whole story. And then I came back and I feel like all I've read in the last 2 days since I picked it up again is spice. So
fine.
Maybe not totally my thing. Like I wanted a little more story with it, but also
it's okay.
It was a great book. So I love the cover. I'll probably continue the series. But I'm not like running out to grab it, more be like, oh, I'm in the mood for this. I'm going to go get book two or whatever. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. Marianne, how about you?
Okay. So I literally finished Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid right before we started recording. And I'm just not okay. I mean, I don't think this has ever happened to where my heart was pounding reading the last few pages.
Yeah.
I mean, and I cried and it was really good. It's about the space shuttle program and a couple women in the program. And it touches not only on like space, but also women being taken seriously in a male dominated field. And it was really good.
Is it present? Is it like present day space or is it, we're talking like 80s?
The 80s.
Yep.
Like 1984 when the shuttle program was just starting and women were just being admitted to the space program. So it's historical fiction, like they do mention like Sally Ride going up on her first flight. Mm-hmm. Really good. It was a little slow in the beginning, but oh my god, the one character, Joan, her sister Barbara, is such a bitch. Oh my gosh.
I don't know where I thought that sentence was going, but that was not it. But I like it.
Oh my god, I hated her so much. As a matter of fact, I posted on TikTok about that and many people agreed with me.
Yes.
So, okay. So then I also read The Memory of Us by Camille DeMaio. I also loved it. Historical fiction. It was inspired by the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby. Kind of hard to explain, but it's about like this love at first sight between this woman and this guy who's going into the priesthood and what ends up happening. It was really good.
I told my mom about that book because she's a big Beatles fan.
Yeah.
And Camille was talking about it in our interview. And I was like, Mom, you got to read this book. It's like,
It's inspired by
Eleanor Rigby. Like, you'll love it. So,
yeah, it was really good. Slow Burn Summer by Josie Silver. I really like her books. I really like that the main female character was finding herself after a divorce. She's not like 20 years old and, you know, got a rockin' bod. You know, she's got her insecurities as an adult. I read The Things We Left Unfinished by Rebecca Yarros.
That book destroyed me.
No, I thought it was the last letter that is.
No, I haven't read the last letter yet. That last letter destroys everybody. I've not read it yet. This is the first one I read after reading like Fourth Wing and everything. Okay. And I was like, how have I missed her books before? Yeah. These are amazing. They're so good.
I thought it was really good. I didn't like the last letter, actually.
Yeah.
Because I felt like emotionally manipulated by it. But I really did enjoy this one about the granddaughter of an acclaimed romance writer working with this popular male author who's going to finish her grandmother's book. Lots of enemies to lovers and forced proximity. The View from Lake Como. It's by Adriana Trigioni, I think it is. I wanted to love this one so much, but it started off with Lake Como, New Jersey, which is apparently a real place.
Yeah.
And a big Italian-American family, which reminded me so much of, like, my childhood, you know, because my mom was Italian from Brooklyn, so it reminded me so much of my childhood. But then when she goes to Lake Como, Italy, because she's in the marble business, she's taking over the marble business from her uncle. It's like this insta-love with this guy, and it didn't feel real to me. But it did make me want to book a trip to Italy, that's for sure.
Done.
Okay.
I put this on my list when I was in Lake Como, I think. Like, I was like, ooh, A View from Lake Como, I need to read this, so.
Or I wouldn't mind going up to New York and eating Italian food there either, so.
Lake Como.
Now you can go anywhere. That would actually be really funny to be like, on the shores of Lake Como, I'm eating my Italian.
Also, if you remember that Ivy Fairbanks said that if she could read one book again for the first time, it was Funny Feelings by Tara DeWitt. And I read it and I loved it. It's about this female comedian and her manager and his preteen daughter, who's also deaf. And it was just cute and sweet and spicy, but not overly spicy. But it was like a friends to lovers kind of thing, and nice. Unrequited feelings, and really good. I really, lots of positive representation, and especially for the disabled community, as far as like the daughter being deaf doesn't like stop her from anything. It's kind of funny too, because like the dad brings her to comedy clubs, and people are like, "Oh my god, what are you bringing that kid in here for?" And they're like, "He's like, she can't hear anything."
Right. Say whatever you want.
Yes. And then I'm listening to Well, Actually by Maisie Eddings. I got a audio arc of it, and it is a great story. It is very spicy. I was fast forwarding through some of the spice on my way to a training today, only because I was like, this is not the stuff to get me into the mindset for going to work.
School.
But I really like the story of, it was like a college hookup that he ghosted her, and now they're both like on in media. She has like this, not really a pod. He has a podcast, and she has this kind of feed sounding kind of thing. And she drunk posts about him one night, and yes,
love it.
Just lots of angst between the two of them, because she doesn't like herself, so she's having trouble believing somebody else will like her. And so lots of angst, and I'm enjoying the story a lot, so I definitely would recommend it. And it's funny, if you've ever read any Maisie Eddings, she has one book called Lizzie Blake's Worst Mistake or Last Mistake, something like that. And there was a cameo appearance from Lizzie Blake in it.
Nice.
So, I like when authors do that.
Yeah, so that was fun.
Call back.
Yes. So that's about it for me now. What about you, Kit?
So I did two audiobooks. Shout out to the Pooter Library for having books available and ready to go immediately, because I'm absolutely with audiobooks like a mood listener. Like I can't get into it unless I'm like ready for it. So I'm doing Twisted Love was the first one. Twisted Games was the second one. I listened to them back to back while I was driving all over the mountains. And it centers around a group of friends. So like each book is like a relationship with the group of friends, but they're super spicy, one. But I like that sometimes when you read a series, they're all kind of the same vibe, and that this, not even remotely. The first one is like mafia boss kind of romance, where like the girl doesn't know she's in danger, and like the mafia boss is her brother's best friend. And then there's like an insane twist at the end where everything you thought was wrong. Like why you thought the mafia boss was involved in this, completely incorrect. And you start
that book and I don't remember it at all. Like I also listened to it, but I didn't love it.
It took me a minute to get into it, but I was like, I can have it right now. So let's do this thing. And then by the end, I was like, oh shit. Like you guys are like, this is like serious business. Like, and so I immediately downloaded the second one. And the second one is like a bodyguard vibe, like a marvelous not a bodyguard. So it's a totally different feel. And I was like, I kind of love that, because it follows each of the friend groups, the girls, like personalities.
Right. As opposed to,
instead of trying to fit the girls into a specific genre, it's like, this girl has this issue that we need to work out. And by God, a mob boss is going to fix it. He might have also caused it. Who knows? Then the princess one is like, her brother is the heir to the throne, and her brother abdicates for love, which is an amazing decision for him. But it means that she now loses her chance at love because she's going to become
the heir. I do remember that. I remember her character.
Yeah. There's like,
maybe I should read the second one.
I honestly liked the second one better. I thought the characters were fleshed out a little better. And the issues felt more like, you felt like you had more context to like why. This is the one, however, where I stopped paying attention for a hot second because I saw an animal and I thought it was going to end in incest. And I lost my shit. I had to like pause it.
Yeah, I was like, didn't you text? That's what I was like. You texted us and said you were reading this book. Yeah. And I was like, I don't remember any of that.
So essentially, like, I think I explained it to you guys, and I'm not going to explain it on the podcast because it'll give away the big reveal.
Right, right.
But I misconnected two of the names.
Okay.
So when they said one name, I thought it was in reference to a different person. Okay. I was like, oh shit, that's a cousin. Like, no, you guys said sex. Like, absolutely not. Like, what is happening right now? It is not a cousin. Listeners, there's no relation. That was a me problem.
Like, this is a hot series. This is a hot series.
It's the first
hot among teenagers. Yeah. I see a lot of my students reading it.
It's spicy, but it's not like obscene. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, it's just like college age kids having sex. Like, it's not like anything crazy, crazy ridiculous, but it is definitely all on page.
Yes.
But I liked both of them. I'm definitely going to, I already borrowed the next one. So next time I start driving around,
I'll listen to number two. I think number one, Twisted Love, I think was free on Audible for a while. So I was like, I'll start the series. And then I was just like,
I like the second one I liked better just because I liked the characters better.
I remember that character. I like the
personalities a little better. And I
remember that whole thing where she's, okay.
Yeah, because they tease it at the end of the first book. Yes. They say that, like, Bridget now has to go be queen. And, like, what the fuck? So it is a nice little tie-in.
Yes. But,
and then I read the next book in the Rebel Blue Ranch series, which I'm obsessed with.
I'm so excited. Swift
and Saddled is the second book. The first book focused on Emmy, who's the only daughter in the Ryder family. This one focuses on Wes, which is one of her brothers. And he is taking the old farmhouse, like the original ranch house, and he's turning it into a guest ranch. So they're kind of like branching out. And the dad is like, this is your thing. Like, you do it. We'll back you. But, like, you kind of have free reign. So he hires an interior designer, contractor kind of person. And immediately, before he even knows it's her, he sees her in a bar and they make out in the hallway. And then the next day are like, oh, shit, we have to work together.
That's fun.
Love it. Yeah. But what I really like about these books is there's a little bit of the, like, should I, shouldn't I, or will they, won't they?
Yeah.
But the characters are like, fuck that shit. Like, we're into each other. Let's figure it out. Like, there's not that kind of, like, slow burn of, like, we shouldn't. Oh, no. Like, you're all fucking adults.
Yeah. Right?
Figure it out.
If you want to jump him, jump him. Just do it.
Yeah, which is literally how it starts, which is not a spoiler, because if you read the book, it's like page two. Uh-huh. She sees him in the hallway and she's like, this is the start of my new life. And she just slams him against the wall and kisses him. Like, she's like, I'm taking my chances. And the next day she's like, motherfucker, that's my boss. Like,
what did I get myself into?
And then they figure themselves out and it's fine. I'm assume the next two books will follow the same kind of trend where, like, there's a lot of, like, agency in the characters. Like, they can make a decision and they might be a little like about it, but, like, you're an adult. Like, you can figure it out. So I loved that one. I also read Come Fly With Me. So I will say not much about that since we're going to be talking about it at length on the actual podcast. Here's the one, folks, where I said I read an adult book. I'm going to say adult things. This one was recommended by my friend Abby. She's upstairs right now. She's visiting from Australia. She found a TikTok where she's like, she has not read this yet, but she found a TikTok that was like the person was like, here's some books that actually exist. Like, and she's like, book, Bigfoot edition. And I was like, fucking done. Whatever one is on Kindle Unlimited, I'm going to buy and read.
Send me the title.
So the TikTok shows you all the books that I'm literally on Kindle, like on the side.
My God.
All right, which one can I get? This is called, are we ready? Taken by Bigfoot. Loving Bigfoot, book one. And book is a stretch. This is a short story at best.
A novella, maybe?
No, it's like 12 pages long. It is like, but I'm like, I'm including it because we're doing this thing. Uh-huh. So it's by S.B. Leave, which definitely a pseudonym. Good for you. It's exactly as odd as you think it's going to be. And it's inexplicably like a you choose romance because there's not one Bigfoot. There's a whole village. And this girl is like camping with her boyfriend. A lot happens in 12 pages, not gonna lie. She's camping with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend's being a douche. She's like, I'll handle it myself. And she walks off into the woods and she sees a Bigfoot. And then, but he's also maybe like a man, just like a really hairy man, because the cover is like a dude. It's not Bigfoot, but he turns into a Bigfoot. Don't know. Very unclear on that front. He takes her to like their Bigfoot village, the Sasquatch land. And they all speak vaguely Neanderthal. So they're like, girl, pretty, you, wife. And I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
And then there's multiple Bigfoots, multiple Sasquatch, what is the plural of Sasquatch? Who knows? Is it like moose? So she's got to marry one of them, I guess. Now we're in a you choose romance, but the way she picks is she's got to have sex with all of them in front of everyone. Now we're in a performative situation, but she's cool with it. So it's all right. We're not getting into like no consent. She's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm into hairy dudes. Let's do this thing. And then at the end, the leader of the Sasquatch is like, you pick. And then it ends. It ends on a cliffhanger.
So you don't know who she ends up with?
I'm going to assume she picks Sasquatch Dean because he's the only one with a name. And I immediately was like Dean Winchester, Supernatural. Because if he was a Sasquatch, sure, I'd pick him too. Yeah, dude, yeah. Whatever. But there's no resolution. 12 pages, pure chaos.
I just looked her up. She has 4 short stories
out. You can
read
more.
The second one, in addition to Taken by Bigfoot, we have an A+ from Stacy's favorite teacher.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. I don't like that.
No, or Hot Tub Study Break.
Oh, God.
And the last one, Caught in the Showers.
Who was caught in the showers?
What?
There's so much ground to cover there, but I don't know. I don't even know this girl's name, but I don't know what Sasquatch she picked, but she had a night. She had a night.
Wow.
So there's that. You're welcome for that little
okay. Adventure.
And then the next one I read sounds like it's going to be insane, and it was not as like crazy as I thought it was going to be. This one I found on Kindle Unlimited. Just I was like scrolling, like I feel like I need. What am I in the mood for?
Right.
And it's called, oh no, there's an incubus in my hot springs. And the cover is really pretty, so I was like, done. It's free. By Ember Holt, and it's a really good book.
Yeah.
It is the first book in the Getting Cozy with Demons series. And the main character is Sylvia. She's a workaholic. She helps renovate businesses, like breathes new life into them is kind of her job. She has a long-term boyfriend who she thinks she's about to marry, and she comes home early from work as like a surprise and discovers that he's sleeping with her assistant. So very like standard trope start.
Okay.
But from there, it kind of like takes a very sharp left because she's very sad. She's like she's hammered. Like she's like just crying to herself, and she's like, I got to get out of here. I have to leave. She has kicked the boyfriend out, but she's like, I can't do this shit. And she finds a listing for a abandoned, potentially haunted hot springs in Colorado that needs someone who knows how to renovate a business and a building. And she goes, fuck it. Like, it's really little money. I'll put in a bid under price. If I get it, great. If I don't, you know, fucking whatever.
Right.
She wakes up in the morning, like, sold. Like, surprise, you own a hot springs now in Colorado. So she's like, fate. Sure. So she, you know, packs her shit. She heads to Colorado. This hot springs is not haunted necessarily. This hot springs is under a curse. Think Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
There's a demon that has been cursed because he scorned a witch and he didn't realize it at the time. Like, it was very like, oh shit. So he's always been a demon, but he's now cursed to be tied to this hot springs mountain that it's like built into the side of. So he can't leave. So his goal was never to like haunt people. His goal was to find someone that could renovate it and like breathe life back into it that he could help. But instead he just ends up scaring everybody until her, because she's like, fuck it. It's a demon. Let's do this thing. Like, she's got nothing to
have do. Nothing left. Yeah.
Right. Like,
my boyfriend cheated on me. I'm okay to be with a demon.
So at first she's just like, help me out. I'll help you out. Like, I need a new lease on life. You need this place fixed up. So it starts out kind of like a friends to kind of like enemies to friends, because she's like, Jesus, why is there a blue dude in this hot spring? But the more they get to know each other, they kind of fall in love and it's like a fated mate kind of situation. Okay. And there's a whole like, the other hot springs in the town is trying to get them to fail and why. And there's like all this family shit involved. And it ends up being like a really cute story about like second chances and believing in yourself and forgiveness. And I was like, what is happening? Because I thought it was just going to be like a kinky demon in the hot spring.
Right, right. And
I was like, it's a whole ass story. It is very smutty as well, but it's a really cute book. As I would definitely read more of her books. And then the last book I read is called Tusk Love, which you may think is going to be another smutty monster book, but it's not. It's by Thea Guanzon, and it was recommended by my friend Will. It is Dungeons and Dragons adjacent. It's from Critical Role, which I personally have never gotten into, but Will is very into, and he's like, you're going to love this book because it's romantasy.
Okay.
And it's the two main characters, and it alternates perspective, Guinevere and Oscar. Guinevere is a witch who's think frozen. Like, she has this power she has no idea how to control. Hers is fire, though. And Oscar is a half orc who they meet up on a road, like a trail, and they need to help each other get to their final goal, to their final location. And along the way, they fall in love. But there's all sorts of like magic and adventure, and it's funny and it's silly and it's a little bit scary sometimes. And her parents suck ass, and Oscar's like, I'll rescue you from that too, dude. So it's a very, very well written, very cute book. And I'm going to talk about it more later. So we'll end that there because I got lots more to say about that one.
So a side note about Tusk Love, because you know I pull it up.
I know you did.
The audio is narrated.
I know.
Teddy Hamilton.
Don't listen to
I feel like this might be his wheelhouse. Like, I might be able to.
I couldn't tell you anything about Teddy Hamilton because I don't listen to a ton of audiobooks. So I've never listened to anything by him. But Oscar is kind of like, if I was going to like describe him, he's kind of like the grumpy to her sunshine. And very like tongue in cheek, like very sarcastic. Like, he says things and with like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but like not happy about it. Like, why am I saying these things? So I don't know if that's.
Which I think he could be good at. So I'm not a total.
Yeah. But it's a very good read. And the cover is gorgeous.
It is. I know. I kind of want to read it because it is just romanticy. It's just like influenced from.
Yes. And then like the inside of the cover, which I also love. I'll show you guys because you can't see it online. The inside of the cover is because this book exists inside the D&D world, inside the Critical
World. Right.
So they also have the cover as it would have
been
in the story. So this is cool. Like for us,
and which is a cool cover. Yeah.
And this is like what the characters would have seen.
Oh, that's really pretty.
It's really pretty. Yeah. Yeah.
The whole concept is interesting. Like having, you know, cause that is a huge subset of people.
Yes.
Who like D&D and all that.
I asked before I read it, I was like, do I have to, like, I have like a vague knowledge, but like, do I have to know the characters like from Critical Role? And he's like, no. The existence of the book is the Easter egg. So you don't have to know anything outside of the book. You might recognize some things if you do, but if you don't, it stands on its own. And he was right about that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think you would definitely like it, Sarah. Marianne, you might like it. I don't know how you
it's
feel.
It's romanticy. I like romanticy.
Your vibe, but it's still a pretty good book.
I'm just too lazy for romanticy and learning all the different places. And it's sheer laziness.
Fair enough. All right. Shall we roll on to our rapid
fire? Yeah. Rapid fire questions.
All right. Let's do this thing. What character would you go on a road trip with? Sarah.
I struggled with this one. I feel like I've read a lot of romance lately and they all kind of, I mean, not in a bad way, blend together, but the plot's the same. It's the point, you know, it's the beach read and everything. So, but then I was like, you know, Judy and Beverly from Come Fly Away. Yes, they're flight attendants, stewardesses back then, as they were called, but they just have a sense of adventure. And I think that, I don't know, they just seem to know how to do a road trip. So that could be That could be fun.
Very, like, even for, and you guys might have talked about this a little bit when you did the interview, but they seemed very, like, up for anything, which was not of the time or was, like, just starting to be the thing where women could go, like, I want to go on an adventure. I just want to experience what there is out there.
Yeah.
And, like, a great way to road trip.
Living out of a suitcase, like, not needing to be in the best because you're, you know, you're put up where you're put up and that's the way it is and, you know, things like that. So, they talk about learning how to cook in those tiny galley kitchens.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I just feel like their knowledge would probably be like, they probably have a lot of stories, number one. A lot of stories about people that they've flown with or whatever, and just their general travel knowledge. So, yeah. What do you think, Marianne?
I think I'd pick Vanessa from Atmosphere that I just finished. She's one of the women who are trying to get onto the space shuttle that takes place back in the 1980s. Apparently, NASA would only put military pilots into the pilot position on a space shuttle.
Okay.
But she was a pilot, but she was a civilian pilot, so she wasn't allowed to like fly the space shuttle. But like she's described as like driving her convertible with one hand on the wheel and just kind of laid back. But because she's also a pilot, if you got tired of driving, she could fly you somewhere.
Yeah, this is true.
So I figured she'd be the best one. And how about you, Kit?
I went with Oscar from Tusk Love because he very literally is taking Guinevere on essentially a road trip by horseback, which I'm totally fine with because she doesn't know where she's going. But he is kind of a traveler by nature. So he knows all the back roads. He knows the like best places to get a meal. He knows where's safe and where isn't safe. And I like the idea of like, I mean, passenger princessing it for a hot second.
Yeah,
like you lead the way. I'm just going to enjoy the ride. Plus he can like literally kick anyone's ass. Like,
yeah.
If you stumble into the wrong area, he's got your back.
He's got your back.
But, cause I'm usually, when we road trip, I'm usually the planner and the driver and the navigator. And I don't often get to just like enjoy the adventure.
Literally be along for the ride.
Yeah. So I like the idea of like, yeah, dude, like you figure it out. I'm just going to go with you and enjoy. So that's what I went with.
Okay.
Are there any places you would like to go in these books? Who wants to go first?
Marianne, you go first this time.
Okay. So since I already talked about Italy earlier in the podcast, I'm going to switch my answer here to Hong Kong from Come Fly With Me and have Mr. Chang make me a dress because I love that.
Yeah.
I love that whole part where he'd make those dresses for them. And I think that would just be amazing to have one of those dresses. Who was it? Was it you? Who was telling us? Oh, it was Camille was telling us the other day that about men getting suits made.
My cousin's had one. Yeah, okay. My cousin is in the military.
That's right, San Diego.
In the Navy, and he same thing. He was always like, he'd go to Hong Kong or Singapore, wherever, and like the same thing. Be like, I just had a suit made, and I go back and I get it in 6 months when I'm back there, and all this, and I'm like, so crazy.
It feels, as I was reading that, like I felt like it was a bit of a like, oh, no, you don't just meet like a rando guy in the airport and follow him to a store. But like, what? I guess why not? Like, if other people have done it and he has a reputation.
To all the military people. Yeah. So it's ironically, that cousin now lives in Colorado, too. So.
There you go. Well, it's kind of like 6 degrees of separation. You know, like, okay, well, my friend met
my
with
friend
him
of a friend of
fine.
A friend.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Okay, what about you, Kit?
Even though I live in Colorado, I put the hot springs from, oh no, there's an incubus in my hot springs because I've been to a couple hot springs here. My favorite one that I love, shout out to Strawberry Park and Steamboat Springs because it's not as commercialized, which is kind of how the one in the book is. It's not necessarily a big commercial venture. It's more of a like, just go and relax kind of situation. Uh-huh. And adding in the potentially haunted, definitely demon adjacent, would give it like an extra little fun twist where you're like, dude, is this a haunted hot springs? Like, what am I looking at? So I picked that. So even though I live here and can very much just drive 4 hours to the hot springs that are similar, I like it being a little creepy. Like, I'd be down with that.
How about you, Sarah? I put down here Kentucky, but I go to Kentucky a lot. I haven't been there yet this year and I miss it. I find myself, I usually go like every 3 to 4 months. It's like my happy Northern Kentucky, specifically Lexington, because obviously I do the horse thing. I love getting up early and going and watching warm-ups at Keeneland.
That's still one of my favorite memories. No, we did that together. It's so much fun.
I did it last summer, like by myself. Like my husband and my daughter slept in the hotel because she didn't have to get up so early. And I got up at like 5, grabbed a Starbucks and drove to the track and just sit and chat with people. It's like the coolest thing in the world. My husband then does the bourbon thing. So it's like our happy place. But yeah. I have to admit, I've never been to Colorado.
I know someone that lives there.
I know a couple people now that live there. So the other book, of course, one of the other ones I read taking place in Colorado, I'm like, I need to go to Colorado. We need to.
It's a good time.
I need to make that happen. So, I mean, everywhere else, I'm like, I could say Ireland, like we did before, but I'm like, I'm trying to pick other places that maybe I haven't. So I was like, well, I have been to Kentucky, but I've never been to Colorado. So that should be on my list. So last question. What character would we want to have dinner with?
Okay, Sarah, what about you? You go first this time.
I picked, you know, we're loving the Kingman family.
Yeah, we are.
But I picked Jules, the sister. The one sister, you know, after doing the whole like, oh, we would want to have with the whole family and the game night and all that and road tripping with them. But I was like, you know, Jules, you get a little bit more of her in The Wiener Down the Way.
Okay.
Because she's a big Kelsey Best fan. Mm-hmm. And of course, being the little sister. So I started to think, I was like, you know, I bet she's got some good gossip.
She's got older
brothers. She knows what she's doing. I was like, I think I want to be her friend and I want to have dinner with her. So
solid.
Yeah. What do you say, Marianne?
I said Jess from View from Lake Como, going back to my love of good Italian food, which I'm too lazy to cook and can't really find around here. So I would pick that. She was from Lake Como, New Jersey, Italian-American family, goes to Lake Como, Italy. So there's a lot of food mentioned in that book. What about you, Kit?
Similar to like the Kingsman family dinner, I picked the Ryder family from the Rebel Blue Ranch series because they do something called Ryder Day. It's like their own little celebration where the whole family and all the friends get together. And they do like a big meal, and Amos, who's like the patriarch of the family, cooks for like days to get everything. So it's all like home cooked food, and all the friends and family bring in like whatever their specialty is. So like if you're someone that cooks like cake, great. If you're in charge of the cornbread. So it's a really like homey family feel. And in this book in particular, since Ada is not from there, she's a bit of an outsider. And I liked seeing how, like, no, you're here, your family now. Like, you're now part of this. And everyone seems to genuinely enjoy everybody's company. And I was like, I think that would be fun, especially on a day that's like a celebration where they do it up big. I'd want to be part of that. I think that'd be a good time.
Sounds like fun.
Speaking randomly of food, by the way, I learned one of the best ways to make pesto is with pistachios.
Oh.
Not pine nuts.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm going to try that because that's the thing I love overseas and is there's a lot, especially in Italy, there's a lot of pistachio flavored things and I love pistachios, but our tour director, she was like, oh no, you got to make it with pistachios. And we're like, that makes so much more sense. They're cheaper. First of all, like a thing of pine nuts is like $15, but
they're cheaper at Trader Joe's, but
But I'm like, ooh, so I'm going to have to try a little pesto pasta with pistachios.
Yeah.
My Caitlin, especially, her favorite cookie is pinoli cookies, which are pine nut cookies. So I've tried making them a few times, so I know where to buy the cheapest pine nuts. Not the grocery store. Go to
the grocery store. Right. Our top book recommendations and why. What's your top pick, Kit?
So I'm going right back to Tusk Love, which I've already talked about at length, but it was such a, like, you know, some people recommend you books and you're like, I don't know. Yeah. I trust Will like completely. Like he knows what's what. So he's like, you have to read it. And I was like, all right. And I was at our local indie bookstore and it was like sitting on the shelf and I was like, done. Like it's fate.
It must be fate. It's telling you. Yep.
Now is the moment. And I don't read a ton of romanticy. I do like it, but it's definitely not where I like aim immediately all the time. But the story behind the book is what really sold it for me. And again, I don't know a ton about Critical Role, but Will was filling me in that in their storyline, one of the characters like visits a smut shop and finds this book. So they essentially they're like, it's a completely made up book, like that uh-huh. doesn't exist in the world. It's just part of this other plot line. So now we're like a book inside of a story. And as they kept fleshing it out, it kept becoming a recurring theme that is brought up and referred to. And now the plot line of the story that they're making up as they go is impacting the characters in the other story. Like the character of Oscar, who's a half orc, is referenced as like he has these tusks. But there's a character in Critical Role, Will was telling me this morning. So Will, when you listen to this, if I get it wrong, pretend I got it right. But like the character in Critical Role doesn't like his tusks and files them down and gets like made fun of for them. But then another character references the book and is like, I like how Guinevere feels about how Oscar's tusks are. I like that. I like his tusks. I like your tusks. Like, it's not something you have to hide. So now this secondary made up story is impacting the first made up story. And I like how it all like intertwines. And then because it became such a huge part of this, they were like, we should write it. And like the fans were like, I want to read it. You keep talking about this thing. I want to know what happens. So they got an author to write it.
Love that she wrote a book that didn't exist, but it was like
it had a storyline already. Yeah, like it existed.
It existed kind of, but like I'm going to write that. I think
and now fans of Critical Role can read it and feel like they're part of
this
thing. And then people like me who maybe don't know what's happening over there can also pick it up. And immediately now I want to know more about Critical Role or like the story that spawned this story. Like, so, I want to know more about the world that exists in.
I just looked up Critical Role because I was like, I'm vaguely familiar with Dungeons and Dragons. I want to know. It is an American web series where a group of professional voice actors play a continuous game of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of intrigued now. Like, I kind of want to watch it.
Yeah, and Will talks about it, and it's just not something I had, like, gotten into previously, because I was like, where finding the time was really more my issue, was like, sucked into this, like, when
you're going to get sucked in, you're like, I need, like, a full week to,
And luckily, like, immediately, I read until 2 in the morning, I waited, because that's, like, 4 in the morning, Will time, I waited till I woke up this morning, and was like, I finished, and immediately just started, like, screaming in text message about everything that happened in this book.
Yeah.
And he is a lovely enabler and started sending me TikToks of like where it's referenced, who these characters are. And I was like, I immediately just wanted to be part of this whole thing.
This, I would say, again, it's the subset I had no idea existed. And so now I'm intrigued. Like, there's books about this kind of, that's very cool.
And, but I like that it stands alone too. So like, it isn't,
I could read it without having played D&D ever 100%. And not be lost, but also it's,
So it's not, it's niche for the people who are part of that niche, but the people who aren't still can 100% enjoy it. Cause I loved it. So that was my top read for this month.
I love that.
How about you, Ma?
Definitely Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. It's like the first book in forever, if ever, that I like literally my heart was pounding, and I at the end to like see how it was gonna end, and that I cried, and it was just like I said, I've read 2 others of her books, one I liked, one I didn't, and I wasn't sure which way this one was gonna go, but it went with I liked it. I just liked the fact too that, you know, brought out that emotion to me. That's a sign of a good book. So,
Agree.
How about you, Sarah?
Mine's kind of torn between the two. I had We Fall Apart, because if you've read the We Were Liars series, you know, then for sure. But also Come Fly With Me. I really, really liked that. Like I said, I think maybe because I had just traveled, so it really like resonated with me about why we travel and friendships that you make while you travel and things like that. And I told Camille this. I cried at the end. I definitely got a little teared up at the end because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even. It was such a good book. And I just felt like I got sucked in right away and just read it.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Yes, I was on a deadline, but also I didn't have to be convinced to like, oh, I got to finish this book. I just picked it up and I was like, oh, I'm in. So
you know, one thing I was just going to say, when we were talking to Camille and you brought it up earlier, is about how sometimes travel isn't about where you're going, but like who you're with. Who you're but Sarah and I were talking about this a little bit the other day with Camille, that sometimes, or maybe it was after we talked to Camille, about I traveled by myself for the first time in a long time. And that was so empowering and was so much fun for me to not have to be beholden to anybody else. Uh-huh. I know Kit does a lot of solo traveling.
I do. And it's funny because I think it's there's the definite balance. I almost exclusively travel by myself, just because the kind of travel that I like to do, the people that I'm around the most don't enjoy that. Like, not a lot of people enjoy backcountry camping. And like, you're not going to shower for days and you just got to be cool with that. And you're eating literally just like turkey sandwiches for every meal. But more recently, I still do it and I love it because the alternative is not going. It's lonely. It's a very lonely thing when you, like, I was up in the Tetons and it's a hike I've done every year for 40 years. So this is a hike that I know it's my favorite hike in the world. I always make sure that I have time to do it. And I always do it by myself. I've gone once with my friend Ferber and she went with me and that was awesome. But other than that, like, since I was old enough to travel alone, it's been by myself. And for the first time when I was up there, I saw a bear. I've never seen a bear on this trail. I always see moose. Like, I like to, like, as people ask, like, hey, do you know where you can see blah, 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 blah? I'm always like, well, you go to here and the moose kind of live out here. Yeah. And like, if you're patient and you sit long enough and like, it's great. But I saw a bear for the first time kind of across. There's like a river that runs down the middle of it. And it was off on the other side and I was alone. And it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And there was nobody to share it with. Except for like this other lone hiker who also, like, we looked at each other and we were like, do you see, there's a bear there.
There's a bear over there.
Are you seeing this thing that I'm seeing? Yeah. Which is fun. It's always fun to like meet other people out on the trail. But the longer that I do it, the more I'm like, oh, like, I, you know, it's lonely. Like, you're by yourself and you don't have anyone to kind of share the excitement with. And when things go wrong, you don't have anyone to share the burden of like, I had to fix my truck while I was out there.
Yeah.
One time I got hit in the face with bear spray and I had to figure that shit out myself.
How do I?
Like, it gets.
How do I clean my eyes out now? Like,
the answer is milk and Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo.
Yeah.
But it's empowering because you can do it yourself. And like, it's a thing that not a lot of people have the opportunity to do, to be independent in that way. But after a while, it gets lonely. It's a lonely prospect.
Well, I would not be going backcountry camping, but like, I was going to museums and I had nobody like bored. Like, if Jerry,
you didn't feel
there,
like you were holding anyone back.
And
like,
I'd rather travel alone than have people who don't want to be there. Right. But it'd also be real nice to have someone that actually wanted to be there.
So I mean, this has got to be a balance, but I think it's good. I think it's especially good for women to get out there and not feel like you can't go do something by yourself. Yeah. You know,
I feel for me too, we were talking about this too. This is the first trip that I took with my students where I didn't take any other adult from my school.
Ooh.
It was a very small trip. So I was already a little worried, like, who am I going to hang out with? I don't want to just hang out with the students. I always encourage them to go off on their own because that's their independence. So it was really great that I met these wonderful ladies, but also I did spend a lot of time going off by myself. In foreign countries where I don't speak the language. And that is so empowering. But again, like in Spain and Madrid, I went to a counter to order empanadas for lunch. And I ordered completely in Spanish. And I kind of want to look around and be like, did you see that?
I did it in Spanish.
And it's just me. And I'm like, I just have to kind of pretend like I live here or, you know, things like that. But also it was very empowering to think I am comfortable in a foreign language. Or a foreign country, not speaking the language, because France, I speak zero French. So I don't even know, like, I found that I freeze up when people speak French to me. I'm like, English? I don't know what you're saying. Where I feel like Italian and Spanish, I can kind of talk my way. We're like, I only speak a little bit. Can you please, you know? Yeah. But that was a really cool experience too, just to be, it felt like it was a great balance to be by myself and be like, I can do this. I can go shopping. I can go look for this. I can grab this and I'm independent enough to do it. And it feels great. I want to go see this and nobody else wanted to. So I'm going to go do it
by myself. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now that we've shared our favorite reads from this month, books that made us laugh, they made us cry, and they made us stay up way too late. It's time to look ahead. We've got some exciting things coming up on the podcast. We can't wait to share with you. But first.
Also join us on August 19th for our next book club episode when we discuss Come Fly With Me by Camille DeMayo. when we will be joined again by Camille herself to chat about this book.
Don't forget to follow our socials, subscribe to the podcast, and please leave us a review. We want to know what you think.
And let us know if there's a book you'd like to see us read or cover in the book club. We love book recommendations. So hit us
in the
comments, on TikTok, all those socials that we just talked about.
We need attention. We didn't get enough attention growing up, and we need attention.
So until next time, keep reading,
keep exploring,
and don't forget to pack the snacks.